As we prepare to receive God's word, let us join our hearts in prayer. God of abundant life, your grace is our daily bread. Nourish us by your word and fill us with your spirit so that we may grow in faith and love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 49. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. While they were talking about this, Jesus stood among them. I don't know if you remember what they were talking about, but when this story starts, it's actually still that very first day of Easter. It's maybe like Sunday evening or late afternoon by now. So to recap everything that has happened on this one day, the women go to the tomb early in the morning. Two angels tell them that Jesus is alive. They believe it immediately. They remember how Jesus had been talking about this. So they ran back to the disciples to tell them, and the men do not believe a word. Luke's gospel says that the whole thing seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. So two of the disciples, Cleopas and another, start walking to Emmaus. Might as well pack up and move on, right? It's a 7-mile walk, so for most people, that's about 2.5 hours. And while they're walking, Jesus appears out of nowhere. The two disciples never think for a minute that this fellow traveler might be Jesus. They just start talking to this stranger over the long walk. They open up to him about how hard these last few days have been, that Jesus of Nazareth, whom they had hoped would be the one to redeem Israel, had instead been crucified. So the stranger gets into this kind of deep theological discussion with them, going through the story of Moses and all the prophets. It says he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Can you imagine what we wouldn't give to have that kind of biblical interpretation straight from the source, standing beside us in the flesh? But they still don't realize it's Jesus until they get to Emmaus and the two disciples ask him to stay for dinner. And when Jesus starts to break bread, they realize it's him. Jesus vanishes, and the two men immediately run the entire 7 miles all the way back to Jerusalem. And that's where today's story starts. Still Easter day, with all these different visions and stories cropping up, the angels at the tomb, the women running back to tell everybody, the disciples and Emmaus. So while they are talking about all of this, suddenly Jesus is standing right there among them with a word of peace. Peace be with you. And honestly, shouldn't they expect this by now? Think about everything those 11 friends have witnessed and experienced with Jesus. All the miraculous healings they've watched him perform. They've watched him calm raging storms and cast out demons. There was the time when he filled their nets with so many fish that the boat started to sink. Or the time his blessing made the 5 loaves and 2 fish feed over 5,000 people. And now, at least 5 credible witnesses, their good friends, have claimed to see him alive. But when he comes and says, "Peace be with you," they think it's a ghost. Jesus asks them why they're afraid, tries to kind of reason with them, you know, "Look at my hands and feet, touch me, I'm real." But then while they are still disbelieving and wondering, he finally says, "Have you anything here to eat?" So they give him a piece of fish, and when he eats it, that's when the light bulbs start to go off. Just like it had been the bread and Emmaus, now it's a bite of broiled fish that makes all the pieces start to come together. It's not the empty tomb in the morning. It's not the amazed and terrified women. It's not the testimony of their own inner circle. It's not even Jesus' own prophetic words that he had told them multiple times before Good Friday. It's that someone had a piece of fish. And when that someone hands Jesus a bite to eat, it opens the door to faith and opens their eyes to what God is really doing. And it starts this ripple effect where the disciples can now look backward and forward and see the whole world differently because of a piece of fish. I read a memoir recently by Kevin Turf, who had been a passenger on an Air France flight that was flying over the middle of the ocean from Paris to New York on September 11th, 2001. And so Kevin tells the story of how chaotic that day was because, of course, all North American airspace shut down while they were in the air. Eventually, their airplane, along with 37 other commercial airplanes, lands in Gander, a small town on a fairly small island of Newfoundland. Gander has a population of around 11,000 people, so it's really not too much bigger than Pulaski. And that day, with a moment's notice, while the whole world was traumatized, Gander welcomed over 6,500 passengers and crew members from around the world, these people who had no luggage and no place to sleep. So I thought the memoir was going to be about the great hospitality shown to them in Gander, and it does share a lot about that. The primary school that closed down and turned into a shelter, the chefs who got up early to come make French toast in the school cafeteria, nurses who volunteered to come and see if anybody needed medical assistance, the strangers who offered rides to Walmart, the people who just showed up with comfort food. But most of the book is about how Turf's life was changed forever because of those 3 or 4 days in Gander. And there's this one event that he always comes back to as he tells his story. That first night stranded in Gander, when Turf is completely exhausted and at his lowest point, he looks up around midnight and sees a teenage boy walking through the front door carrying a double-sized air mattress and 2 pillows. Turf says he nearly ran to meet him. It was the first time he had ever found himself completely dependent on the kindness of strangers. And that teenage boy just happened to walk into the right place at the right time with the right item, an air mattress. Turf and that boy don't even really talk to each other. Turf says, "Thank you." And the boy just says, "No problem," turns around and leaves. So they don't even know one another's names. But from then on, whenever Turf witnesses an act of compassion, he remembers that teenager. Whenever he reaches out his own hand in kindness, he still sees that boy's face. So 1 year later, on the anniversary of 9/11, Turf starts a Pay It Forward Day of Kindness in his hometown of Austin, Texas. He was a small business owner with around 40 employees, so he starts by closing their office for the day, giving every employee a $100 bill and telling them to go use it for random acts of kindness. And as you can imagine, the good deeds start to multiply. So one employee goes to an auto repair shop and says he wants to pay for the flat tires that day, however far $100 will go. And so the shop decides that since he's donating the money, they're going to donate the labor. And see how it starts to stretch and grow. Turf's whole outlook starts to change. He even finds that all of a sudden he is praying more. He's noticing goodness more. And for the first time in over 10 years, he starts going back to church. All because there was a teenager 3,000 miles away whose name he did not know, who walked in one day with an air mattress. The air mattress, that boy's kindness, made something click. For the disciples, it was the piece of fish, or for two of them, the loaf of bread that did the same. There was a great big overarching story of God at work, a whole heap of miracles and teachings and healings and even the resurrection. But it took that one bite of fish, and it took that boy with the air mattress for it to make sense. Jesus asked them, "Have you here anything to eat? Have you anything here to share? Have you anything that might open the door to hope, that might be the right thing at the right time for the right person? A piece of fish, an air mattress, a bottle of water, a well-timed phone call, a card in the mail. You are part of a great big story. the story of God's triumph, the story of life in the face of death, of peace in the face of chaos, of hope in the face of despair. You are witnesses of these things, Jesus says. So do not underestimate how God might use that piece of broiled fish. Thanks be to God. Amen.